Man opened fire during a lunch reception at a Southern California church on Sunday, May 15th, killing one person and wounding five senior citizens before being stopped by parishioners. Between 30 and 40 members of the Irvine Taiwanese Presbyterian Church were gathered for an afternoon lunch reception honoring a former pastor of the Taiwanese congregation when gunfire erupted shortly before 1:30 p.m. Four of the five people wounded suffered critical gunshot injuries during the violence at Geneva Presbyterian Church in Laguna, California. All were believed to be of Taiwanese descent. The shooters' actions were motivated by political tensions between China and Taiwan, authorities said. On May 14th, around 2:30 p.m., a teenage gunman, entranced by a white supremacist ideology known as replacement theory, opened fire at a Tops supermarket in Buffalo, methodically shooting and killing 10 people and injuring three more, almost all of them black. It was one of the deadliest racist massacres in recent American history. The authorities identified the gunman as 18-year-old Patton S. Gendron of Conklin, a small town in New York. Mr. Gendron drove more than 200 miles to mount his attack, which he also live-streamed, creating a chilling video feed that appeared designed to promote his sinister agenda. A manifesto believed to have been posted online by the gunman was riddled with racist, anti-immigrant views that claimed white Americans were at risk of being replaced by people of color. In the video that appeared to have been captured by the camera affixed to his helmet, an anti-black racial slur can be seen on the barrel of his weapon. It was a straight-up racially motivated hate crime, John Garcia, the Erie County Sheriff, said. Governor Kathy Hochul echoed that sentiment and decried the attacks as a frightening reminder of the dangers of white supremacist terrorism. It strikes us in our very hearts to know that there is such evil that lurks out there, she said. On May 24th, 21 people were killed in an attack by a lone gunman at an elementary school in the small town of Uvalde, Texas. 19 students and two adults were among the casualties. The gunman was also killed by police, according to local law enforcement officials. The shooter bought at least two assault rifles shortly after his 18th birthday and allegedly shot his grandmother before going to the school. This is the deadliest school shooting this year. Many other school shootings were isolated instances in parking lots and drive-by shootings. In most cases, there were injuries but no deaths. However, in total, there have been 27 different school shootings so far in 2022, and over 200 mass shootings in the U.S. where more than one person was injured or killed so far this year. Last year saw nearly 700 incidents, which has risen to more than double the annual totals prior to 2015. This year, we've seen and heard of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, where there are an estimated 35,000 casualties so far, with over 6 million refugees fleeing Ukraine to escape the violence. Just to put that in perspective, that would be more than the entire state of Wisconsin having to flee their land. And besides that, over 8 million have been displaced from their homes and cities within their own country. Just this past week, there was a raid in Oshkosh where women were being trafficked through a local spa that was really just a front. A couple of women were rescued in this particular raid. However, human trafficking worldwide is a major problem. There are over 40 million people, one in every 200, that are being forced against their will to live as domestic servants, slave laborers, child soldiers, prostitutes, or sex trade workers. And almost 1 billion people on this planet are facing poverty and hunger worldwide. That's one in every 7 people in the world. So there is darkness in this world. Like, it's undeniable. And it's everywhere. It can be overwhelming. Sometimes it seems like the darkness is going to win, but we also have to remember that although there is a darkness, there is also a light. John 1:5 reminds us of that. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Kind of the title for this message this morning is this: there is a darkness, but there is a light. There is a darkness, but there is a light. And of course, Jesus has come to be a light that shines in the darkness of this world. We heard that in the passages that were read during the worship this morning. They're from John 1 and Ephesians 5. And you'll hear a bunch of different passages this morning sprinkled into the message, some verses from those as well. Those are kind of the main passages for today, though. And that passage from John talks about the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And because of that, we usually associate it with like Christmas and the birth of Jesus. But John isn't just using imagery of the Word and the light and the life as a poetic way to tell the story of the birth of Jesus. It also portrays some really deep theological truths. It's an incredible picture of who Jesus is. It's telling us something significant about who he is and what he's come to do. One of the dominant images he uses in the passage is the image of light. Right? The image of light. In verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And there's a couple of notable things about light that I want to point out this morning. The first thing is this: that light dispels darkness, right? Light dispels darkness. Darkness can't exist wherever light is present. It's not possible. The brighter the light is, the less darkness there can be. And in the physical universe, darkness is, well, it's not a thing. It's not a thing. It's the absence of a thing. It's the absence of light. Some people have a hard time, Scott and I were talking about this week, sometimes people have a hard time sleeping in the morning once the light kind of creeps into your room. How many? Anyone? Yeah? All right, a few? Some people don't have much of a problem, but some people do. In our bedroom, we have these darkening drapes. They work awesome, by the way. But they don't add more darkness to the room. They just do a better job of keeping the light from shining in. Because darkness is the absence of light. In the spiritual world, that's true as well, right? The absence of moral light is sin. The absence of spiritual light is depravity. Wherever sin and evil exist, it's because there's a lack of light there. Darkness is the absence of light. But when the light comes, the light makes the darkness disappear, right? It makes the darkness flee. So that's the first thing about light. Light dispels the darkness. Now, not only does it dispel the darkness, but here's the second thing. Light exposes things hidden in the darkness. Light exposes things hidden in the darkness. It's like walking into a room, a dark room, and you flip the light on, and then 100 cockroaches go scurrying. I know, I just wanted to create a visual. Sorry. Would it help if I said, like, 5 centipedes? That's okay. But when that happens, they go scurrying in all different directions, kind of looking to crawl under an appliance or into a cabinet or something like that, right? They're trying to get out of the light because they're exposed. They can't hide in the darkness anymore. In the same way, when the light of Christ shines on us, our hidden things become exposed. Our sin becomes exposed. Our failure becomes exposed. Our imperfection becomes exposed. Our insecurities become exposed. Our disbelief becomes exposed. Our disobedience becomes exposed. Our rebellious attitude becomes exposed. It's all brought to light. Ephesians 5:13, in that second part of that passage, says, "When anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible." I mean, that's a pretty obvious point, but once our sin gets exposed and becomes visible, then guess what? We're forced to decide what we're going to do with it. Now, hopefully, we'll deal with it before the Lord, right? We'll seek His mercy and His forgiveness, and we'll repent. We'll look to change our ways to make our lives in line with what He wants for us. Sometimes, though, we run from the light. We go scurrying. We try to find a new place to hide our sin. And we typically will do one or the other. We'll either repent or we'll run. And yet, as I was thinking about it, I guess there's a third option. Some people, that they just like own their sin and don't care that they've been found out. But I think most of the time we do one of the first two things. We'll either repent or we'll run and try to hide. Because light exposes things that are hidden in darkness. And that's the second thing. The third thing is this: light illuminates everything. And they're fairly similar, but a little different principle. Light illuminates everything. That same verse, Ephesians 5:13, says that when something is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. But it goes on to say that anything that becomes visible is light. Anything that becomes visible is light. I think, well, that's like a really odd statement, isn't it? Like, just because something is visible, it becomes light? It is light? How does that work? Of course, probably the best picture of this in all creation for us is the moon. The moon has no light of its own to give off. It's not a source of light on its own, yet it provides light to the world during the night by reflecting the light of the sun. So even though it has no light of its own, it still becomes a light to others. It becomes luminary, which is, by definition, a natural, light-giving body. And guess what? That's supposed to be true of us too. Right? We've been in darkness, and we have no light of our own, just like the moon. But we have been illuminated by the light of Christ. And John says that we are supposed to shine that light. We're supposed to share that light. In order to do that, though, we've got to, as he says, wake up. We need to rise up and be light in the midst of all the darkness that's going on around us. Verse 14 of Ephesians 5 says, "Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Right now, those words that John uses there, they aren't like a direct quote from an Old Testament scripture passage, but they're like a summary of multiple passages that are found in Isaiah. One, for instance, is Isaiah 60, verse 1. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Right now, this isn't just a statement about us coming to faith in Christ. I mean, that's part of it, right? Because Christ has shined on us, we've come to faith in Him. But it's also about us being the light of Christ to others in the world. And John's saying, wake up, rise up, come alive. Christ's light will shine on you, and then you become a luminary, like the moon, right? You become an object that reflects Him and brings light into the world. So there is a darkness, but there is a light. And yes, of course, the light is Jesus. He's the source of all light, the light of men, the light of women. He's the light of the world. But the light is also you. The light is also you. And I don't mean that in some new agey, positive vibes kind of way. Like, oh, we're all light. I mean that in a way that because you are reflecting the light of Christ in your life, that makes you the light. You're the light for others. And this isn't anything new. I mean, Jesus said this in the beginning of his teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, it was like his regular teaching that he gave on a regular basis. And toward the very beginning, he's like, look, you're the light of the world. Don't put that light under a bushel. Don't hide it. But put it on a stand so it gives light to everyone in the house. It's like, you're the salt of the earth. You're a city on a hill. You can't hide it. The whole world is supposed to see you. And I think the thing that I hope that we'll pull away from this morning is just simply this, that you're meant to be a light, a luminary. And practically, what does this mean for us? What does it mean that we're meant to be a light? Well, look, we see these terrible things going on around us. And we should be bothered by it. If we're not, we might need a little bit of a heart check. Right? Because these things are not light, they are darkness. We know these things don't represent the heart of Christ. That should bother us. And sometimes we might be overwhelmed by it. Like it feels like we really can't do much. Like it's just too much. And it's very similar to the words from one of the Remedy Drive songs that we quoted a few weeks back as we were looking at it. And we've got the slide here that has it on there. Seems like I can't put a dent in this. I stand on the edge of the abyss when hope in the dark seems foolish. How are we ever going to make it through this? I got one spark in the dimness. One fuse lit. Feels useless. I'm lost on my own. I can't do this with just 5 loaves and just 2 fish. Anyone relate to that feeling sometimes when we look around us? I know I do. Like feeling like trying is even a useless thing. We don't see how we can even put a dent in the problem. And by the way, that's where the title for this series really comes from. Right? Dents in the darkness. But listen, we're not meant to be overwhelmed by the darkness. We're called to do more than just be bothered by it, though. We're called to do more than just point it out to others or to complain about it. Jesus has chosen to use his people to reflect his light in this darkness. And that's us. That's you and that's me. We're called to be the light in the world around us. You are meant to be a light, luminary. It's really humbling to think that God wants to use us to be light in this world. It truly is. I mean, think of where we once were in our lives before knowing Jesus. And to think now he's choosing to use us to be light in this world. Ephesians 5:8 from that passage says this, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord." At one time you were darkness. But what an incredible transformation that he's brought about in you. Right? We didn't know Jesus. We had no faith. We had no hope. But God pulled us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us in to his marvelous light, right? And here's the key thing. He didn't just do that so that we could be in the kingdom of light. He did it so we could be the kingdom of light in this world. Jesus wants us to be people who do what light does, who dispel the darkness, who expose hidden things, and who illuminate everything around us. You and I are meant to be light. You and I are meant to be luminaries, light that shines in the dark, dark world. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at some ways that we have been trying to do that as a church, and talking about ways that we'll continue to look to do that. I hope that you'll join us each week this summer in the journey. I know it's summer and schedules are weird, but I want to encourage you, if you If you can't be here, please listen to the message. Go back and watch it on Facebook or listen to it on the podcast. I think it's important. It's important for us to take a look at what God is looking to do with us as a community and how he wants to move us forward. It's part of us being light in this world around us. I want to just close by rereading that passage from Ephesians, and then we'll pray and finish with a song or two of worship. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14 says this, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Let's pray. Father God, we know that you have given your Son to bring light into this world. We know that you have caused him to be light for us, and that there is nothing in this world that is ever going to overcome you, that's ever going to overcome him, the light that you've brought into this world. And God, we also know that that light that you have shown us through him, you desire for us to reflect that in this world. Help us to be people who are light, who dispel the darkness just by our presence. Because we are living out what is good and right in your sight. Help us to be people who expose hidden things, who help others to see where they've fallen short, and who are willing to not run from that when we fall short, but to take it to you, to repent, to change course, to turn back to you, and to seek your mercy and your forgiveness, which you just give to us so graciously and freely. And in the process, God, use us, use our lives, use who we are to illuminate everything around us, to be a light that is reflecting you to the world that sees. And in doing that, God, help us to be luminaries. Help us to be lights in this darkness all around us. We may not have the answer for what is going to correct all the ills of this world, but we do know that ultimately, you want us to bring light into it. You'll be with us. And because of that, we have nothing to fear. We know that the darkness will not win. It will not conquer your light, your Son Jesus, that is at work in us. So help us to be this, we pray, and to consider how we're called to do that as a church body moving forward. Thank you for the incredible light that you've given to us. Help us to reflect it well. In the name of Christ, we pray.